So, let me talk again. It's Tuesday, 18th of July, and I'm Sam here, and yeah, I'm a little oversmoked from yesterday night, which is not so good, I feel, because these episodes are very dire episodes, in a gloomy mood, in a bad mood, getting really aggressive, and I don't know what, but just getting me all sorts of really, really into this tender aggression against you. Don't even know how to call you anymore. But, yeah, gotta tell you, shouldn't smoke that much just to be more depressed and be, like, in this feeling of my episodes. Because now, you smoke, of course, you feel a little more happy. But this shouldn't be so. I gotta talk about this thing about smoking and how you also force me to do this. You force me to harm myself. It has to do with said about eating disorders also, that all your fucking women behaving so feminine. Just gotta get it all out, this resentment, and this is really making me kaput. Just broken, just want to be broken as a man, don't want to be a sexual being, a man, because I can't stand it. I can't stand this way how this is played and handled and how this approaching takes place nowadays. And yeah, therefore, this has to do with the smoking. I want to hurt myself, and it's not even pleasant. I know it's unpleasant every time when I go out to smoke and feel, on one hand, it feels like a nice feeling, but I know. On the other hand, this is not as good when I'm coming back from a walk or from a bike ride. This feels not as good. This feeling feels like is the heavy weight on my shoulders, on my head, that's pressing me down. And it's not as good as the feeling when I went out first, walked or rode on the bike into the wood. But this is clear, and it's a coercion to do it every day, and it's addiction, but it's a Zwangshandlung, coercion, compulsive behavior. But I just wanted to get this out, that it's all your fault also. But yeah, in a way, I'm just saying this because, of course, I'm also afraid of love and a relationship, and touching another human body is always very this press and leaves a mark and somehow it's traumatizing, and therefore want to push this away also and tell you, yeah, I rather prefer to smoke. Maybe like I already thought back then on Christmas, maybe this was also a really troublesome day for you then when we had this exchange, but for me also. And I thought this, yeah, just like this, that I love weed more than anything. Don't want to put a woman higher than this. Yeah, because I don't want to be like this. I don't want to follow this guideline, this coercion that women execute over us. Want us men to see them like the highest good in the mountain, and we have to deserve it. We have to show that we can get it. But no, I don't want to, therefore I tell you, yeah, then this has to be the highest good for me, the weed. Although, no, it's not even this good, but still I feel it's better to do it, because then at least you have this security, you can do it each night, and you can feel that the sexual desire somehow then is less important, although it's still there. But anyways, you know, you always can do this smoking, and this always gives you some kind of pleasure, some kind of nice feeling, and therefore, yeah. And okay, and yeah, just, but also this thing that my body, I want to harm myself, I don't want my body, but also all my mental, my brain, my mental peace and stability, don't want all this to be that good, because I feel you women, you are assessing us men, you want to be the judge and tell us whether we are worthy, and it feels very hurting to know this. that you're looking at us this way, saying, yeah, these men, they are swinish, you know, they have this swinish desire, but we gotta civilize them somehow, and we gotta show them they have to make an effort to be worthy of us as a woman. And I, yeah, want to be then the other way around, countering again. My counterculture is then to say I'm not worthy and can never be, and yeah, this is my guarantee, because I'm smoking, and this is also then so gross or nauseating, at least feels this way sometimes when you just can't leave from it and just smoke so much. Like, I always feel also it gets you high when you're in a social situation, like when I'm with my friends, I'm smoking there, I can't smoke that much, or yeah, sometimes the feeling if I'm alone, then I can smoke way more. I listen to my episodes, especially when it's so intense like the last ones, then you can always smoke more and listen to it and feel like, oh yeah, great stuff, I brought that out, although depressing or somehow hurtful, but well, somehow this is a good speech, and you can always smoke more then. But when you're with friends, already the social situation gets you high. You can't even smoke that much. Because, yeah, I told this to my friend, and he doesn't believe it, but I know that he also feels it. That, yeah, it's always enough that when you smoke two persons, one joint, and somehow it's a different feeling. It's better also to change. Of course, you pass it around then, and then you always have a break, a short break, 1 or 2 minutes of not smoking, and then therefore maybe, yeah, the body can recover a little, and then the drug, the substance enters again with an even higher force, Wucht. And yeah, yesterday, so I was publishing this, and therefore it got a little late, publishing 172 and 73, got a little late, and yeah, getting into smoking, because yes, it was crazy episodes talking about the leakages and my intimate organs, but yeah, this is all good. What I want to tell right is that I just want, yeah, also be swinish on paper, but really to push it all away and tell you when, yeah, I'm fine with this, I gotta tell you, I'm also afraid of sex, but yeah, it's normal then to think that a woman is that sensitive or somehow, yeah, she could be afraid of sex. But yeah, I want to tell this that a man also in the same way can be afraid of it, and me too, and just nothing bad about it. Also, just have this feeling, yeah, you'd have to really convince me as a woman. I won't give in that easy. Of course, to you, Winter, yeah, there is already this feeling, I'm totally at your mercy, but in general, I don't give in that easy, although it would be nice but to have this material contact with anyone, but just I'm so pissed with this whole behavior of you women, and yeah, it could be changed, you just have to approach me, just have to do something, and I'd be so grateful, like with this one waitress who always tries to talk to me, and I try to give her something back, but it's not that easy, maybe because I also feel I want to, don't know if I should be now in this way loyal to these girls or to you, but these Ukrainian girls in the office, and therefore it feels also messed up. How can I even talk to other women when I don't know where is this blockade really? How could I stop then this from developing to a romantic direction? It's all impossible, but therefore love is impossible. I mean, yeah, you can't just say, let's live it like this and have our island, our secured little area that is bounded and where there doesn't enter the dirt of the world. Then it's better to not love at all. And yeah, this is what I gotta tell you. They're, at least they want to threaten you that this could be something. But oh fuck, this noise again. Checking out my podcast and so I wanted to publish the last episode when I came home, but then I noticed no, gotta let it all out first. Don't want to be too much influenced from my discourse from yesterday. I was just listening to it while working there in the office because I did some working in the evening, don't have time so much to smoke, but therefore I smoked so late last night at 1 o'clock, and just it's not such a good feeling then the next day. And tomorrow is this meeting of the whole firm. And I'm just, like this. Pissed at everything, just in an aggressive mood. And I gotta say this, I just don't want to smoke that much. It feels... like this would be a great goal to achieve. But I don't know how then, when I feel UWIM demand this from us, and therefore I don't want to, I want to be defined, like to my ex-girlfriend. She also demanded it at the beginning of our relationship that I quit smoking. And therefore I don't want to say no. Gonna be even worse than you thought. Gonna smoke even more. And the only way this could be fixed would be with a trade-off. I could forgive you, Wim, that you're that weak, that you really make yourselves be that inferior, to put yourself to a place where I really don't want to love you, don't want to touch you, when it's in this constellation. But, maybe I can forgive you for this, because also now you take it as normal, don't even think about it probably. And, but then I also... somehow could write off this neurotic stuff, this compulsive habit. Somehow I was thinking about this, that it always feels like this. I should become a more healthier human being, because this would lead me to the road of happiness, and thus eventually also to the road of love and to being able to sink into the arms of such a wonderful woman. And so today we gotta talk a little about this and that. I just gotta keep the words flowing so I don't have to cut out that much, like yesterday this was messed up, the one before that, 172, had many pauses. And I wasn't in a good shape on Saturday because, let's say it out loud. I mean, it had to do with you two girls, and that I was feeling, oh no, how can I handle this new possibility that erupted or raised before my eyes? Can't handle this really, and therefore I thought this day I have to be really, like for you women, have to be this sensitive and explain everything, but really be cautious and careful to not tell you too much, because there's always the fear that you might detect this dirt that we have in us, the swinishness of the man, and can't detect this. Please just think that I'm worth him. And this was somehow the feeling I think that started in this episode, that got me really angry how much pauses were in there. But okay, today I'm talking in this manner a little, it's a little sprunghaft, because it has to do with this smoking yesterday. Erratic, spasmodic, and yeah, this is my goal in life. I mean, not even to quit smoking, but just not to smoke that late before sleeping. And I know this is even harder, maybe, to reduce your doses, quantity. It could be even harder than to quit completely, because there it would be a clean cut. But I don't want this. I want also this to somehow to prove this to myself and say, yeah, just don't smoke so late, and just that you can sleep, fall asleep, and then everything's gonna be all right. Yeah. So there's nothing specific. I just have a lot of points that are annotated here. Gotta get this out. Ah, yeah, because you, Winter, of course, you were sick today, and yeah, this made me feel a little bad, of course. Thought it could have to do with this last episode where I was charging you with sending me to war. But then it also feels good to have this power over you, at least maybe I meet you this way, being sick and feeling really hurt, like also you do to me. And yeah, would be great to know this, that I can do this to you. And I don't know, we can love each other, but at least we can hate each other. It's also some kind of tenderness. And I, yeah, do this. I really gotta tell you, I hate you. Because it's always get this feeling you don't want to mess it up. It's always so important with this person. Don't want to ruin the connection. It's like a Wi-Fi connection, and you just know you need it. It's so important because it has to do with economy. It's also the basic economic life. What I said about love and bourgeois, the bourgeois way of love that you share. You share also financially, but this is just a metaphor, or doesn't have to be literally that you have the same bank account, but in general, love is thought of as this great bourgeois security. And yeah, it can't be ruined. And therefore I want to ruin it, yeah? Because I don't know why. How can this even be? Why are we so nervous when confronted with each other, when I know we somehow like each other? And how can it be that important? I mean, of course it's important what you say, but I mean, how is it that always this thought is present, you're gonna ruin it with just something you could say. Of course you could ruin someone's mood or temper and get them really angry. And yeah, this I hopefully did to you. But it could always be straightened up again, could talk again. And so this is the paradoxical thing I want to point out. Why does it then feel always like this? Oh, you could go too far. What do I have to say to you to not upset you, so that this holy love bond could go on to exist? And yeah, always important. I just like to talk to you. Could be friends or lovers, but just that, yeah, I want to provoke you and press you so hard that until one day you have to come to me. Or I don't even know if I'll be there tomorrow in the office. Maybe you should call in sick, I thought, because I kind of don't have to go to this fur meeting. And Bockham is also very good to know that it's also sexual connotation. Ah, and there I told you this, yeah, right, about these colleagues. There's a male colleague sitting next to me and opposite you. And this colleague answered this one time that he believes you don't have Bock. Also, but not in a sexual way, of course, but it has this connotation. Bockham as to Bock. And, but he said you don't have Bock to, don't fancy to talk. He suspected of you, talked to him. And Yes, maybe kind of the same way with me and the waitresses, because then I think, oh no, how is it possible that I see also other human beings that could be attractive? And it would flatter me, of course, if you thought the same and thought, like, I can't talk to this guy because I don't want him to be attractive and I don't even want to look at him because I only want to look at using him. And this would, of course, flatter me, but he said that, yeah, she doesn't fancy it. And there was this older colleague, our one of the supervisors, or Abteilungsleiter, department chief, chief of staff, chief of the department, and he asked this back then. This was already like 8 weeks ago. This was because just then I told my colleague about the podcast. Earlier I never had told him. Just then I said to him, you know what? I asked him then afterwards, when the older colleague had left, I asked him, well, why did you say that you believe Lilia doesn't have Bock to talk? Why? And he said, he was a little perplexed maybe for my question, but I just wanted to come to this topic and tell him also about this problematic situation with you since Christmas. We hadn't talked about it. And then he said, well, don't know, but you also tried it, Simon, right? You also tried to talk to her, and it seemed then that, don't know what he thought. Because, I never told him, and somehow we had always these conversations until December. But then it broke off, and we never looked at each other, or just very briefly. And he said, yeah, sie hat keinen Bock drauf. But I told him then, what? But with Lilia, yes, she was. It was that way. We both fancied it. At least I perceived it this way. And with Oriana, I didn't talk that much. And but the reason I'm mentioning this is that always the social impulse is crucial. And this is what I told my colleague also then, that just now I wanted to tell him somehow, because I got this tip from this older colleague. Somehow he perceived something. Of course, the other colleagues also wondered probably why didn't we two talk anymore after Christmas. And he was therefore a little concerned, I felt, and he has also some social skills I perceive in him that is now from generally the employees are very shy and self-conscious, but he is somehow someone who at least likes to talk to people or ask how they're doing. And I told them, this younger colleague, that you always have to get a tip off, and also he never tips me off, therefore I also always have to start a conversation. And what could this older colleague have noticed? Could he have noticed something? And therefore, it has all to do with this, with the look of the other. Therefore, I also wanted to tell him about the podcast. But I'm just bringing this up because today this older colleague came by again. You two chicas, wing girls, weren't there, of course, because you were sick, told me then the younger colleague who works with you. The point is you two weren't there, simply, and then this colleague came by. He had something to talk to me, because he has just given me some accounts for this exam I'm preparing, or a Fortbildung. He had therefore talked to me, but then somehow he, seemingly beiläufig on the go, but I know that it was totally planned by him. Casual, seemingly casual, incidental. He asked, but where is Lilia today? Is she sick? And I said, just, I don't know. And later I asked this younger colleague and he said, yes, I'm a, you might be sick. But that, yeah, I suspect that it wasn't that casual, that he already for a longer time suspected there was something, etwas im Busch, da ist etwas im Busch, there's something in the bush. And yeah, also before, of course, I wondered if I'd met you sick through my episodes. But yeah, you can come to me anytime and tell me anything. And why are you waiting for me? You could also text me. No, it's easier to text, and of course, yeah, sometimes it gets stuck. Really, and all these misunderstandings like on Christmas, but I mean, now you're here, we could talk also physically. And texting would then maybe only be a supplement in addition to that. But today, so this older colleague asked this, where is she? And but okay, just it was somehow a coincidence that today again gave me this tip off again. And yesterday after recording, I felt really in this depressed mood, but felt also this is great somehow. Yeah, I want to be like this, want to think like this. I don't even want to have a girlfriend right now. Although it's paradoxical, on one hand, yeah, you have this yearning for you or for my ex-girlfriend. Nidita Peruana, okay, that's this yearning, but on the other hand, you want to also say, yeah, no, just I'm not mature, I have to go on like this, reflecting, and please just have as many relationships as you want. Yeah, somehow when we were there like this, talking in this bubble of three, back then in November, about vacation. Back then, yeah, I wanted to have you all for my own, but this is all for myself, like I wrote in the poem. But this is only the social situation. I want to be conquered, simply, yeah. If a woman would tell me this, she wants to have me all for herself. And then could think about it, but until then I just want to think that, yeah, this was nice, and it's always nice to be with your girls. I just would like this, but somehow also I'm really pissed that always it's like this. I have to chase you somehow, come up with this. And that this way you can feel precious, feel like a prize. But why does it not occur to you that also I want to feel this way, that also I want to feel flattered? You come by or make a compliment to me. But like with you, Soriana, this one time I made this compliment to you. We were in the kitchen and I said, yeah, good morning. And I knew that you wanted to talk, like Lilia, like with you also sometimes, we were in the kitchen like already half a year ago, but I know you also would like to talk, but you never like to start, and okay, I also don't like, therefore I went into the kitchen with you and didn't talk, or simply I somehow muttered something, but it was like a greeting and you were like looking to me. But I didn't want to say anything because, yeah, why don't you make the start? Yeah, just not clear to me. And with Soriana, then it was this way. I came into the kitchen where she was and I only said hello or good morning. But then I noticed that, yeah, now would be the time, maybe I could talk to her, but I didn't want to make the first step. And I left it up to her and I saw in her face that she was somehow, she was also fighting with herself, finding some words, überlegen, struggling to, if find, come up with something to say, and then she just said, "How are you?" And this is so great, this question, "How are you?" is so simple, yet so useful for starting a small talk. And yeah, and therefore she said this, and this was so cute in her face to see, like, she had thought about anything, but then just came up with a simple, primitive question, which is great, of course, but still, this was such an expression somehow on her face. And therefore, yeah, there I thought, ah, yeah, this, thank you for this, and there I made this compliment about her pullover. Yeah, because it was like I wanted to say thank you that you are not this way overly feminine, like a reproach to you, Lilia, that somehow this has to do with femininity, your waiting behavior. But no, Zoriana, that you're more straightforward, more natural, and that you feel there's no way you shouldn't be talking or asking questions, and yeah, then you simply do it. Don't think that much, and also I want to be this way, not think that much, I'm always inhibited, but if I just can get into this feeling, it's all normal, not think about anything, especially not my podcast, then also I could talk to you again. And so yeah, this doesn't mean that I like you more, Lilia, you know that I only like you, only I'm craving for you, and yeah, this all stuff that I said about having an affair with Zoriana then was also, of course, to hurt you on one hand, the other hand, yeah, it's a natural feeling also, and why not, but it's really mostly I feel to hurt you and to tell you, yeah, I'm hurting myself, like with my body, with the smoking, and I also want you to feel hurt, and I think, like, yeah, your body is not good enough, this Zoriana, her feminine shapes, and yeah, really sorry for this, but just gotta get it all out. Because, you know, now I feel I have this magic wand. Magic wand, like in this song Anneliese also, from 170. Magic stick, yeah, for Emma Watson. And this is my podcast, yeah, this is a super whim to take down whim, to make them fall in love with me. And already 2 years ago I noticed, I mean, yeah, it only really got to something. It was successful with my ex-girlfriend, but still there, I think the podcast had a large influence over this, why she had the impression to have to move that quickly. Like I said yesterday, she grabbed me or dragged me into it, and she had the feeling she had to do it, and I guess, suspect, or strongly believe that it had to do exactly with the point that I was talking in the podcast about love, especially about the Argentinian girl also, but also in general about love and philosophy. And somehow she sensed that, yeah, I could talk a lot, an eloquent guy, and once my podcast would become maybe a little more famous, or popular, then more and more girls would feel driven towards me. And she had to be really, really quick to not let me escape and slip away. And this was not so good, I felt it was not her fault, clearly, but it was not that good for the start of the relationship. And yeah, this is the point. I mean, now I feel like love is somehow worthless, because I can make any girl fall in love with this podcast. And yeah. But this I want to tell to you, when that was very crucial, what I told yesterday. It's not even about love. It's about this fight. Of course, these last decades in my life, I mean, now I feel like totally, yeah, it's okay. Maybe it's okay even to stay in this depressed mood. I'm fine with it. Just want to get analyzing all these resentments in myself. And this resentment, of course, of not having sex so many years, and then this is piling up, I'm aufstand, the resentment and the question, damming up this resentment against women and this feeling like, yeah, also it's to do with Robert Faller, that when you can't get something, then after a time you tell yourself you don't even want it. This is the point. Beuteverzicht, you renounce, or the renunciation of the prey. Like a material good, like sex, you renounce it. Prey renunciation. And this tells Pfaller to us is today's ascetic culture. We feel like these things, material goods or practices that could be lustful, we have to renounce them. We don't even want them. Can't maybe get them, or don't know how, or it feels gross, nauseating, and therefore say don't even want it. Yeah, this is this topic of the incels also was also treated in the show notes sometime. So yeah, I felt like an incel, but Robert Faller then showed me that this is more like a societal problem. This is the point about liberalism, always makes you feel like you yourself are guilty, your individuality, but it's society that forms us. Also with these eating disorders I described, no matter what, talking about eating disorders or about these, say, sexuality problems, but it's always like this. Liberalism then tells you it's your own fault, you could be free, you could have sex with any girl you want, or you could choose what to eat and how to nutrate to be healthy. And but somehow these illnesses develop, and this is also part of what liberalism or capitalism is, the material production base of the system creates in us, and this like has to be compared with what socialism did to people. And of course it's way worse what capitalism does. And therefore also my message was that that I read yesterday from Telegram, that yeah, it's really, I'm really that decided, because I know, yeah, people are this way indoctrined, and it's never going to happen democratically that convince them of the necessity of a revolution, that these Marxist doctrines will never get to the conscience of the people through democratic means, through elections, because these ideological mechanisms are too powerful. But I know that it's simply evil, and it's also destroying me, myself, and my body, and yeah, somehow I gotta fight back. I mean, this is really destroying me, taking, destroying my health, and taking years of my life. And I mean, it's normal then that I would like to fight back, like also in a revolutionary war, but of course not in an imperialist war, like you think is normal, Lilia, right? These are the normal wars between imperialist countries, and I know it's so unfair, but I mean, still, you gotta think about it. I mean, you can be pissed off also and feel really hurt and angry at me now, don't even want to listen, but I mean, still, what grounds me every time then thinking about this, am I going too far, is this thought about Ukraine, these men that are now there fighting on the front and dying there at the thousands or hundred thousands, that, yeah, at least, I mean, we're not in this situation, and it's not that bad, it's not that risky to stand up tomorrow. I mean, either, I don't know what's going to happen, could be something really nasty at work, maybe finally went to complain about me, the HR department, but at least I know I still will have my arms and legs and will not be shot to death. And wow, it's a great feeling when I think about it like this. And yeah, I mean, you girls, you're so young, and how could I expect from you that you step out of the boundaries of societal frames and norms and think outside the box and think that it would be also your task to come to me? But yeah, you could also be on the front now. I mean, these young men, they're also your age and also get thrown into this adult battle, so I also throw you into this ideological battle and confront you with my theories, at least, which is maybe even more, which is even harder and more strenuous than physical violence. But still, you women are also resistant and resilient. But yeah, but maybe also you, Zoriana, or I mean, maybe Lilia, yeah, maybe you were falling in love already with me, like I, like in October, sometime, or already September, begin to think, wow, what could this be, this person, so magnetic to me. And maybe you told her this already, maybe already when she came then in November, and but yeah, then it also would make sense, Sorian, that you were not approaching me, that of course then you felt, no, this of course then can't be again, like, yeah, I have to leave him to Lilia. And also, but also, I mean, it, of course, this would be flattering to think that you girls, or only you, Lilia, but yeah, you two were acting as a cooperative also. As a, I got this feeling about you that you were forming your own union, or your collective, that you somehow were targeting me as a collective, as a, yeah, as an army group, or yeah, and very flattering then to think about that, yeah, this could be the reason that you found me attractive and were thinking more into the love framework and not so much into the friendship direction. Therefore, in your compound of two, you were progressing. You were attacking me, but in a subtle way, in a feminine way, with this maybe greater, more subtle feminine power, and luring me. But yeah, could be, I don't know. And yeah, but then why always think that now I fucked it up or we? No, could I just had to tell you about my thoughts and how this put me in a situation where I don't feel that comfortable. And yeah, but we can go back to talking any day. And I just want to be crazy also like this, talking on for hours and hours here, because I thought about this, my German listeners, what are they gonna think? And then somehow 10 episodes ago or something, it struck to me, yeah, of course they're going to be jealous that I'm sitting there and working together with two beautiful girls. And doesn't even matter, I mean, if you talk to them or if you're too inhibited now, we all know it, men and women or other genders alike know that you get all kind of inhibited, stressed, really feeling out of yourself when you feel some strain of an erotic dazzling. And so it's normal to to feel this way. Maybe in a certain time you can't even talk to a person for a month, or yeah, but I felt this then. Either way, my German listeners are going to be jealous of me, going to envy me, and yeah, therefore I have to go on and tell you, also you stupid German listeners, that maybe, yeah, this is crazy, or so it goes into the direction of erotomania. Illness or this obsession about love, and could be, but I simply don't want to think even so much about all this. Just want to make my podcasts and don't really care if I'm ill or healthy, or just really don't give a fuck in the sense. Yeah, but too many things. It's also smoking makes it this way, makes you feel like, yeah, why even give a fuck? If you always can smoke, always can at least feel a little better then. So yeah, now I have this magic wand, but now it feels like love is not worth anything anymore. It feels, if you're going to be this way, you win, then can't put it into other words. It's nauseating, makes me feel, yeah, of course, then we could have sex, but it's not a good feeling, it's just not good. Don't want to be a conqueror, I want you to conquer me. And the one time, of course, number 6, I said I wanted to always conquer you back, but this is the difference. Don't want to conquer you one time forever, to be this only lover for you. But maybe several times. Maybe right now isn't even the time to be loving Lilia, but yeah, I could love someone else and we could be just friends. Of course, this desire feels very high, but you know that I'm just a complicated person and always caught up in these complicated theoretical struggles, and therefore, yeah, I don't even know what I can offer you at this moment. I want to see you and want you to be there with me. We can figure anything out, but I have this feeling, yeah, I want to be single, or at least want to keep this option and think about it, because yeah, somehow, yeah, think about this, and yeah, you can have as many lovers as you want, but if you only would remember me, and sometimes I could conquer you back. Yeah, it seemed like you were spreading your legs in the office when you're sitting there. But sorry, but this was just got into my eyes. But not this, of course. mainly just your straight posture, and somehow you were, or sometimes you're sitting like this with your straight posture and back. And I think, wow, what a healthy woman, like a plant, like I wrote several times, of course. But it's one poem. Hochwohlgeborene Pflanze, that you're like a sunflower turning its head with following the sun. And you're so beautiful, especially how your back combines then with your head and your hairs, and that it feels you can grasp anything with your long arms, your tentacles. If you only would put them around me, also don't know, Lilia, how to make love or how to even hug you, but it somehow has to be tried. Don't you think that I want to give you this warmth, I want to give you this feeling and the security that everything I said in my podcast, well, wasn't meant anything bad, just had to get it off my soul to clear the way for love, because there's also lots of resentments inhabiting me, as you see, and to let this frustration out. And it's normal if it dams up already so many months. I mean, Lilia, it's let's also get this feeling, of course, but then let this develop and go on for the reason through all this past half year that I thought, yeah, the love is going to be stronger, and how do I know if I'm going to love this person forever? And how do I know that this is really going to be the one love that's really going to be better than all the imaginary bonds in the past, or the bond to my Peruvian girl has to be stronger or more lasting? But how do you assure that? Well, maybe this initial phase of a real hurtful separation, hurtful blockade, could help and could foster and make this grow stronger. But this is absurd in a way. I mean, yeah, of course it makes this yearning stronger, but no, this can't be the solution forever. We have to find a productive way if you want, and let me. I can be a man, be a real man for you. That you show me that you're, but yeah, maybe this is too crazy now, but show me that you're also sorry for letting this develop this way for so much time. And it always felt, already 4 months or five ago, I always felt, no, I got to get to touch her somehow. Or sometimes when I felt, when I was sick or ill, always was laying there and thinking, oh, if only you were there, and can't think of anything else than of you, being with you on the bed and feeling your warmth. And this is then making me also feeling guilty, because why am I not having this special yearning than for my ex-girlfriend, where I also have a longing for her, but it's more tempered. It's not that exasperating, but also clearly I'd like her to be in my arms. But this makes me feel that no, this is always going to be in love like this. Then this initial curiosity feeling vanishes, and I don't know how is this going to develop. Then we can just let it slip, or right away, why then even go through this whole love cycle if this is going to be in the end always the end? And yeah, I said already a lot of things from the list, so I want to make myself kaputt. Ich mach mich hier kaputt. This was something I said in a private recording, that yet somehow your beauty of your girls is somehow related then to feeling coerced to smoke so much, or having this feeling of wanting to be hurt or wrecked. Yeah, I want to wreck myself also. And because it can't take this, I can't stand this, it's impossible to endure, withstand this feeling that somehow you're there, your girls, and I could talk to you and have this pleasure, or even more, even seduce you and have a real relationship, and somehow a man's gotta do this to earn this prize, but this is impossible to withstand. So, I have a couple couple of things more to say, but I think, yeah, already said a lot, and we can play some songs, and then it's gonna be good for today. I mean, also need to publish the last one. So what I annotated here is that you girls are sexualizing this situation. I, of course, I'm also always thinking about sex, but I just would like to meet you there in the office, and that this could be like an equalized somehow, equalized encounter, where it's not that way that men take the first step, but with your waiting, you are already sexualizing. And this is the crucial point about what Fala says about this eating disorders and me about smoking, that with this already you're pointing in this direction and making me feel like, yeah, now I'm on this road, it doesn't matter what I think subjectively, but there are objective boundaries and frameworks of society that put me on this road of men, you have to conquer women or have to into or even just desire them, even though you have a girlfriend, but somehow, yeah, it's you who introduced this sexual difference. And I would like to be there. Of course, it would be normal to come to see you the first time, the first month or first 2 months, when you're new there, but at some point you could come. And I just know, Lily, I know it's unfair, I know you would have come if only I would have waited until January or February, I know, but please also understand me that it's all a lot of pressure, and I wanted to let out this resentment which was damming up for so much time. Yeah, there's always this talk about incels, but this makes you also feel uncomfortable as a man and feeling like, yeah, this is somehow not normal. But in my opinion, yeah, it's normal. It's normal to feel also this resentment and let it out. I mean, also women should let this out, the resentment against men, but generally the way women are then painted today in these liberal discourses is this, they're so innocent and men are these violent perpetrators, and this is then totally wrong, of course, because it makes you weaker, because the evil is also, well, then this way men are evil, but evil malice is something that gives you greatness also, and therefore men are simply greater. And so simple to see. And this whole talk about women being innocent and being corrupted by men is making women smaller and is really not putting them into a good position where they can fight back and can fight to finally be at the top, be at the same level or even surpassing the position of men. And about this, you are introducing this point of view, and with this, what you wrote, it doesn't depend on a person's sex to take the first steps. I thought then maybe you wrote this because, or you thought in this moment, oh my god, maybe Simon is only thinking about being friends. But yeah, maybe he did notice that with all this I was giving him this clear sign that I was thinking in this way. Yeah, what can we do? A woman can only wait until a man tells her something about love and his intentions. But if I tell you to take the first step also, yeah, maybe this is about friendship. But no matter, friendship or love, I mean, it should be. But could be equal. alternating. And yeah, I got the feeling I'm already a little slow here. I don't have so much more to say. Gotta say this, that I'm in this manly position as a man, and this is somehow a reality that is not material. It's not something that you can grasp to say there is the societal pressure or structure, but it's something that that's still existent, still there, is still very dense or hard to break, very resisting and durable. And yeah, this is something objective. It's not created by one person, but by the collective of all and of history, the development of human society. And yeah, it's somehow now this way, and it feels very hard, very determining. And nowadays there's a lot of talk in these gender debates, how it's all constructed, all these social roles only constructed. But this is a little naive, because it's making it sound as if this word constructed would mean simply, yeah, it's easy to change. It has been constructed, we can construct something new. And of course, this is also my proposition. We should construct some new role models, but it's not that easy that it can develop like this spontaneously. Like, this is the thought of liberalism. Everything can develop and grow spontaneously without a plan, but it can't. Yeah. And I think, yeah, this was the last thought for today. I'm really worn out a little, but it's good to have at least 1 hour of talking, because, yeah, I feel now, these last episodes were maybe the most crucial, also most hurting ones in the whole history of Tischl und Deck dich, I don't know, but the most ambivalent. And yeah, let's see what happens. Maybe also my ex-girlfriend, he listens to it, and I don't want to put you girls in any kind of competition. Don't want you to be rivals, but just to know this, that yeah, I have to figure it out, what do I even want to. I want to somehow talk to her again and see how our relationship could be in the future, whether we could be friends, and yeah, see what could happen. But I don't know, it's just Lilia. With you now, it feels you're this person that I never loved someone so much in my whole life, and it doesn't matter. But exactly this is the reason why it then feels also very hurtful, and don't even want to realize it. Want to maybe not actually hold you, because then I'd have to be confronted with the possibility of failure, that it's not that great as I thought it could be. But Lilia, just if you want to seduce me, I'd be open and tell you, yeah, anytime, I'm not going to go away that quickly and look for another girl. No, I'm like this, that I just like to think a lot about girls, and yeah, this might be hurting. You know, like my ex-girlfriend told me all these writings and podcasts about other girls, but I'm just fighting my own theoretical battle and feeling it's not even that important to have sex right now in my life. It's most important to express all this, and somehow it's the greatest pleasure I can imagine to really be that swinish and talking and talk a lot about sex. And yeah. So yeah, Lily, you have to know that you really, you are a shooting star. You are this one of a kind piece that made an impression on my life like no one ever did. also unfortunate to say my ex-girlfriend, well, because everything went so fast, of course, I love her, I mean, but went so fast, it was not this time to idealize someone, to let the love feeling grow until these obsessive heights where it's really hard to discern whether it's already an illness or what this could be, but that this is really the point, really, and I don't even want to love anyone anymore, at least not that intensely in the future, because it's too much, I felt, it's too hurting also. I could love other women in the future sometime, like you also could love other ones, but it shouldn't be this way, like this, and it should really be one of a kind experience, I feel, once in a lifetime. And so I don't know if we can stay together for all our lives, but still it feels, I don't even want to think about what this could be, just that you have to know that no matter what happens, not if we ever talk again, but you made such an impression on me and changed my whole life and yeah, made me crazy. And these podcasts are clear and material proof of it. And there you have it, this is the demonstration, the proof. This can't be undone, can't be reverted somehow. There can be blunders and can be aggressive moves that produce lots of steps. Feeling like a step in your belly maybe. But can never vanish the feeling that I'm connected to you and I intermingled with you in my thoughts and don't want or need anyone else, and at least yeah, when we're in a love bubble, I don't know what this means, but that this bubble is somehow this finding thing about my life also, and my soul is only a soul that is complete together with yours, and only there it can even be defined, be looked at, and without you it's not even existent. But telling you all this might make you feel again like we're already these ideal lovers and you don't even want to come to me because you feel, ah, it's okay. But okay, you can do whatever you want. And I'm glad that you're just here, please. Maybe you come back to work or not this week, but just know that... just know that somehow I'm always going to go on loving you and... Although I don't know if it's pleasant or unpleasant, but it's a coercion, it's a force inside me. You can't prohibit it, right? It's not a crime to love. And yeah, I think with this, let's change to German for the end. Liebe Leute, lasst uns doch nochmal kurz hier auf Deutsch, was Barré, Stuckrad Barré, ist doch so ein literarischer Schlingel, nicht wahr? Also der hat ja ein Buch rausgebracht, das ich jetzt nicht kenne, aber das im Neue 20er Podcast besprochen wurde. Und jetzt weiß ich gar nicht, ob ich diesen Tweet hier gespeichert habe irgendwo. Nee. Den habe ich eben nicht gespeichert. Aber macht ja nichts. Dann eben irgendwann anders. Jedenfalls ging es da um diese Frage, ja, wie ist das im heutigen Diskurs über sexuelle Belästigung oder Ausnutzung von Abhängigkeitsverhältnissen am Arbeitsplatz. Um dieses Thema soll sich ja dieses Buch drehen von Stuckrad Barré noch wach. Und Ja, ich meinte da nur in dieser Tweetkette, dass irgendwie es ist leider so, dass dadurch eine Schuldumkehr stattfindet. Eigentlich soll die Schuld auf uns Männer fallen und wäre es so geplant, genau, dass wir diese Übeltäter sind und so weiter. Aber durch diesen Diskurs ist es dann leider so, dass es in eine ganz andere Richtung geht und gesagt wird so, ah ja, aber trotzdem wollen diese Frauen ja auch irgendwie sich ins Ausland. Ja, der Penis, der ist so anziehend für sie. Also die wollen es ja auch, die sind so sexuelle Biester. Und deshalb, ja, warum lassen die sich das gefallen oder lassen sich sogar noch ausbeuten am Arbeitsplatz? Nicht nur ökonomisch, sondern auch noch so romantisch, sexuell. Ja, ich denke, das ganz große Ding hier, was auch eine Rezensentin schrieb in einer Rezension zu diesem Buch von Stuttgart Paris, das ich jetzt nicht gelesen habe, schrieb sie, dass es eben das große Problem dieser Triebstruktur oder dieser Dynamik, Beziehungsstruktur ist, eben, dass es irgendwie lustvoll ist, diese Rolle, dass der Mann der Prinz ist und in das Leben der Prinzessin eine ganz neue, aufregende Note einführt. Und dass sich das die Prinzessin wünschen. Und ja, das ist irgendwie dieses Problem. Also von dem her ist das Buch vielleicht schon gut oder beleuchtet zumindest mal diesen Aspekt. Ich weiß nicht, im 920er Podcast könnt ihr das ja hören. Aber ja, mein Punkt war einfach, dass mit den sexuellen Biestern, das irgendwie, es hat sowas, dieser ganze Diskurs über, oh je, die armen Frauen, die werden dann noch belästigt von Männern und müssen nur sie gut schützen und vor der toxischen Männlichkeit reinhalten. Das kehrt sich dann wieder um zu dieser Sache, zu so einer latenten Verachtung gegenüber Frauen, dass man empfindet, also jetzt nicht ich hoffentlich, aber dass ein Mann dann empfinden könnte, ja, die wollen es doch auch, hä, wie können die das? Oder ja, im Grunde geht das ja schon in die Richtung dessen, was ich auf Englisch ausdrückte. Also, ihr macht euch so klein, ihr wollt es irgendwie auch, dass wir so groß sind. Warum? Ich weiß es nicht, aber irgendwie, es hat doch was ganz Ungutes, was ganz Unangenehmes. Wie soll man innerhalb dieses Koordinatensystems dann überhaupt noch die Sexualität ausleben? Also das ist einfach meine Frage. Und ja, die Frage kann ich zum Schluss stellen. Und kann, ja, damit aber am besten wirklich sagen, es ist Zeit aufzuhören. Ich gerade auch bei meinem Mitbewohner, das ist gerade jemand da, dieser Mitbewohner, der wohl im Gefängnis ist. Was machen diese Leute da? Also gut, ja, und damit sage ich am besten einfach ciao und auf Wiederhören.